This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, we are all with you for the next 4 hours. The other 20, that's your responsibility, what you do with it, but you should stay right here on the station. That's always a wise choice. Hope everybody's having a great day because it is an absolutely stupendous day in the tri-state area. It feels like summer. It's beautiful.
Gorgeous.
We got to hold on to these days.
Grasp onto them.
These are the times to hold on to.
Remember, because they will not last forever. These are the
times to hold on.
No, the words. Come on.
I'm sorry.
You ban people from the show, and then you mess up an unbelievable song by Billy Joel.
I know the song. Oh, yes.
All right. We start off with the NFL. So the Atlanta Falcons have been sent home from their facility. There's been a positive test. Odell Beckham Jr. has been sent home from the Browns facility. They don't know what's wrong with him, but he doesn't feel great. So it's so strange because I almost hear echoes of what happened in baseball when the Marlins ended up having to sit out for a while and the Cardinals sat out for a couple of weeks. You got to call off the season. They're not going to be able to survive. Nonsense. This is not an altruistic venture that they're doing. They're doing this because there's a lot of money at stake. They are not calling off the NFL season. They're not doing anything of the sort. They're not hitting the pause button. They're going to plow right through. I always felt, now I've changed my mind, which I reserve the right to do. Mm-hmm. I always felt that the thing that would knock any sports league back on its heels would be, God forbid, if somebody died. I don't really think that would stop, especially the NFL. I mean, I hope that it doesn't get put to the test, but there are billions of dollars that are at stake that they play this right through to the Super Bowl, whether they play in front of no fans, whether they play in front of fans at the stadium that LSU plays in, the Florida stadiums, whatever you want. They're not stopping this season. If they have to have teams, some teams play 14 games, some teams play 13 games, you know what it's going to be? They'll get the highest winning percentage. Those are the teams that'll make the playoffs. Don, any thought? I mean, people that we respected, they've got to stop baseball. They'll never get through it. Ever. Especially with the Marlins thing. They got through it. They're what? They're 7 games away from completing the World Series, and they will complete it because they're in a bubble. There's too much money at stake. This is not about A, entertainment, B, diversion for people. This is about the owners getting big money from the networks. They're not stopping it. Stop it. Stop wasting your breath. Stop wasting ink. Stop wasting bytes on your computer. This is not being stopped.
But at least you saw the concern, right? Right away, NBA and NHL had to go into a bubble. Right? There wasn't even any thought of anything else. They put the bubble together. And I know that's different because it was only the playoffs and it wasn't every team. And then baseball, once they worked out the finances, it was understood fairly early on that once they got into the postseason, they were going to work on some way to bubble things up. But in the NFL, Michael, I've heard more about getting fans in the building than I'm hearing about the possibility of bubbling. And this is right. This is a sport that has their thumb over the Players Association in every way, shape, or form. Whenever there's been a negotiation, whenever there's been complaining from the NFLPA, it's always been Roger Goodell has too much power. So they don't have to worry about that, and they print money. So they could bubble up easier than probably any other sport. But all I'm hearing, as one positive test after the other comes in, after one game after another gets moved or postponed, I'm hearing about how the Saints are moving to LSU to get fans in the building. I'm hearing the governor of Florida saying he wants full buildings in Tampa, Jacksonville, and Miami. You know, I'm seeing 25,000 people in Dallas. So I'm not getting any sense at all that there's any concern. I think they have protocols, and I think they don't want positive tests. But, Michael, we keep speculating about bubbles and all this. All I'm hearing about the NFL is they're just marching forward. They're ready to do whatever possible to just keep this thing going. Maybe they'll come up with a plan come playoffs. But every time this happens, if you think that anything's being derailed or changed, I think they have the same philosophy. They're going to punch the coronavirus in the face.
They're plowing through, no matter what. They'll plow through how many positive tests there are. I mean, we've seen it. And college is the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
They're canceling games in the SEC. They're not going to be able to play enough games to actually crown a national championship. But they're going to plow through because those television contracts mean so much. I mean, we heard all the poppycock early about, well, it's the best thing for the kids. This has nothing to do with the kids. Because it wasn't that safe for Notre Dame to actually be in the rigors of a team situation. They still got positive tests. So unless they're all bubbled, they're going to be positive tests. And bubbles cost a lot.
Oh, yeah?
Don't think that the NBA and the NHL got away cheap. They spent millions and millions of dollars to bubble those players.
I think Orlando costs between $175 to $200 million.
It's a lot of money.
Well, it's a lot of money, Michael. And when you're asking the owners to pay for it, already knowing they're losing 40% of their revenue because all they're doing is honoring their television contracts. No fans got in the building. Nobody was buying jerseys in the building, you know, but they wanted to finish their playoffs. And here's the difference. In the NBA and the NHL, they got their players for free because you don't get paid in the postseason.
Right.
You know, so that kind of helped.
But that's also why they wanted to play the postseason, because that's how they defray the cost of paying the players during the season.
And it's apples and oranges to compare the NHL and the NBA to football and baseball because of the fact that they already had most of their regular season completed and they just wanted to crown a champion. Because what you're going to see, Michael, come January and February, is the NFL, the NHL and the NBA are going to be in the same boat that baseball and football were in. How do we start our season? You know, do we start in a bubble? Do we play in front of no fans? You know, how long do they hit the pause button? So they're going to be in the same boat that football's going through now. I'm just telling everybody that as you wake up in the morning, because it's a daily ritual, right? You sit down, you pour your cereal, you get your cup of coffee, you pop on the computer, and you find out what team is going through the coronavirus, right? What game is now going to be in jeopardy on Sunday? And today, it's Atlanta, Minnesota. Tomorrow, it might be Cleveland.
And the one thing that benefits the NFL, there are horrible stories about people who have gotten this. And there's a terrible story in sports. In the Red Sox left-hander, Eduardo Rodriguez, who's having trouble walking because of the myocarditis he got from COVID-19. But for the most part, it's not adversely affecting these kids.
Right.
They're getting it, they're recovering, and they're saying, okay, yeah, that wasn't great, it wasn't fun, but we're okay. Now, we have no idea down the line how it's going to affect them in 10 years. I'm not really sure the NFL's that concerned about it.
No.
And if the players are concerned, they don't have to play either. They can opt out, but they're choosing not to. So what we're seeing is healthy young men getting this virus, battling through it. It's tough. I know people that have had it, and it's difficult. Some people have died. A lot of people, 215,000 people in this country have died.
Fred Dean died today, the former defender for the 49er. He was 68 years old.
Right. Wow.
But, you know, so, but
then you see people that are really out of shape that are surviving it and that are older and they're surviving it.
Right.
So as long as this stuff continues to happen, and it sounds like doctors might have a little bit of a better clue how to deal with it than they did in March, then they're just going to march on. And even if they don't, I know this sounds awful, the NFL will plow through because we're the NFL. And that's all there is to it. We're the NFL. This is getting played. We've got so much money at stake. We are not stopping this. We're not pausing it. We're going to make it work. And the NFL is also in a good position because they could play the Super Bowl in March. There's no worries whatsoever. They could keep pushing it back. They could play the Super Bowl in March.
And they're going to be fine. So it's just a memo that if you really stop with your tweets and save your breath about they've got to cancel the season. You know, they've got to pause the season. They've got to bubble. I don't know if anything that's going to happen. I'm not even sure they're going to bubble. They will in the postseason because it's – and mostly they'll bubble in the postseason not so much for protection or stopping the spread – because it's a lot harder to postpone postseason games.
Exactly. Logistics, you know, not health.
Yeah, it'll be a logistics situation because they're not getting, how do you then move, you know, a Buffalo Tennessee playoff game to a Tuesday? And that's you can't do that. That's difficult to do. That might be what ends up happening here, but they're going to plow through, cuz what college coach Peter was it back in the infancy of this whole thing? That talked about, well, kids, let them get it. They're not going to die.
Orgeron.
It was Orgeron, yeah.
That's kind of the attitude I think a lot of people have is that, yeah, they might get sick, but they'll probably be asymptomatic or their symptoms will be fine and they're not going to die. Nobody's dying. No professional athlete's going to die. Yeah, you talked about the baseball thing, but it's one you know, one out of a million chance that something like that's going to happen, and that's not a kind of percentage that's going to make them worry or flinch.
But isn't this perfect for what we already think of football? Football is the sport that more than any other sport we all think of not really caring about the well-being of its players. That's the main criticism people have of the NFL.
Well,
when we think about head injuries, we think about athletes in college not getting paid and how much they give their bodies to these places where the head coaches are the highest paid employee in the state. This is what we think about football. So all it does is reinforce what we already know. It's about football and it's about the almighty dollar. Everything else is second.
Well, think about this, Peter. I thought this popped into my head when Michael said about the long-term health of the player. Like, all right, the guys that get COVID-19 but or survive it, how are they going to be affected 20 years from now? There's a very good possibility that before they die of COVID-19 20 years from now, they may commit suicide, they may get ALS, they might die of dementia, right? So it's a sport that really everybody kind of understands that nobody thinks long-term, right? Nobody. You've got guys like Ray Lucas, God love him, that had all kinds of problems and willing to sacrifice literally his life to go out there and play another football game. So you think any of these players are going to be scared about coronavirus?
No. We're not casting any aspersions on the NFL. I'm just telling you, and we opened up for this reason with this, they've got to hit pause. They're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. There's too much at stake. And I mean money. Because money is what, when George Young said, whatever they say, it's not about money. It's always about money. It's about money. That's the reason they're playing. It's not to entertain the masses. If they say that, that's pablum's spin. That's all it is. They're doing this to collect their billions of dollars from the network. And that's okay. It's a business. I understand. That's why the state of Florida and the state of Texas, that's why they want to have stadiums full. It's for the coffers of the state. Not because that's the right thing to do. That's the reason why the country wasn't shut down completely is because of the economy. So you have to weigh the economy and the health and then how the health of the country would be if you shut down the economy by having a complete lockdown. All of the money plays a role all over the world about the way COVID-19 is being battled. That's it. It's just a wake-up call, everybody. Yeah. Money makes the world go round.
I know, but it just frustrates a lot of people, Michael. The guy that has his restaurant closed is seeing that the NFL marches on, you know. The guy that's out of work or the guy that can't do this or their kid is stuck home, you know, homeschooling because they can't go into their school because it's closed. There's a lot of inconsistencies and there's a lot
of not in New York and New Jersey and Connecticut. There's inconsistencies when the people that own the restaurants in New York are going, why can't we have full capacity? Right. And they see that they're letting fans into stadiums in Florida. Different municipalities, different governors. It's not inconsistent here. It's not.
No, you're right. But
they look around the country and go, why is that part of the country okay? And they have just as much more of an outbreak than we have. Again, money makes the world go round. The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save, also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Couple of other issues. Ty Lue has agreed to a 5-year deal to coach the Clippers. So maybe Jeff Van Gundy does get the Rocket job, but the Rocket job now comes with a caveat. Daryl Morey, the GM, has resigned. Now, call me somewhat of a doubting Michael, okay?
Okay.
Somewhat dubious, so to speak. I think that this was all arranged once he took that shot at China. Now, they didn't want to bang him right then because it would have looked like they rolled over for a communist country. This is exactly why he's gone. They let him have this year, and at the end of that, it's time for you to go. So now you throw this bone at China, because no way is the NBA ever addressed, even great players like LeBron, what's going on in the human rights violation in China. No one has. No one. So this is Daryl Morey saying what he said, keeping his job, and thinking that I wouldn't remember that he said this, and now this is the payback for saying it. It's going to be interesting to see if Daryl Morey, who's a GM who rolls the dice and goes for it all the time, will get another GM job in the NBA. Or is this your olive branch to China so you can get their dollars back again?
Wow. I mean, there's a little inconsistency there, isn't there?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's funny, though, not falling on any political side of the spectrum here.
You never would.
You can scream about inequities in this country, which is what you should be doing. But when it came to China, I don't know enough about it. Well, you know enough about this, but you don't know enough about that. You know enough about what's going on there that it's not cool that they actually pound down dissent and you're not allowed to have a dissenting voice. You know that, but nothing, because that's worth billions of dollars to the NBA, which means it's also worth billions of dollars to NBA players. And they probably make a lot of their sneakers there.
I fault the NBA more for that than I would put it on the players, though.
Why?
Because I really think the players don't know about it. I really think the players, up until that moment, when people tried to say, like, oh, of course you know about that. First of all, it took until 2020 for the players to step up and do anything like this about a subject that directly affects them and their own families. We're expecting that in that same year, they're also going to make a really aggressive stance towards China, the place that feeds your company tons and tons of money, and your employer has always had no problem doing business with. Our country's had no problem doing business with. We're putting the onus. All of us use products all from China. Everything's from China. But now we're putting on the NBA to stand up against their employers and not want to go? Get out of here. I don't think that's apples to apples. Why wouldn't the NBA
stand up and say anything? So Daryl Morey opened his mouth to a really innocuous tweet. China went crazy and pulled the plug on all those millions and billions of dollars. And they wouldn't show NBA games there.
Yes.
That's a huge market for the league. Everybody really got their tongue tied there. Nobody said a word. Everybody knew what was going on.
But that's why I put that on the league to do that. They're openly working with China and making that money. But I don't put that on the players to know as much about that and be informed enough that they should be stepping out to talk about it.
Well, I mean, but you know, I mean, as far as sneakers being made and everything, how much, you know, they're using young people making nothing to put sneakers together. So those are the sneakers that you're selling at $150 a clip. I would get to know stuff if I was that involved.
And you're talking about something that happened months ago, Peter. So if it's something that you're not really educated on to speak of, and I understand where you're coming from, where LeBron gets all of a sudden asked a question and we're going to jump him for not knowing. Well, 6 months later, it's the possibility that a general manager resigns because of it. In those 6 months, did you say, hey, maybe this is something I need to look into?
Well, that's an interesting conversation now, is to start, I think, asking players about it and where do people sit on it now. I just thought in the moment it was unfair. I think is this more story?
Okay, I'll buy that. Maybe in the moment it was unfair, but they should know it by now.
I think,
you know what? Maybe let's look at LeBron. Because you guys know how I feel about LeBron. I think he's, you know, the sun and the moon and all that. I think he's super, super smart. He knows what's going on in China. He's read. People have told him.
I agree.
By now he knows, because he's that smart. Just saying.
But if you're LeBron at this point and you do know, what do you think is a reasonable course of action? Meeting with the league to talk about the relationship with China?
Yeah, how do we get out of- maybe say, if my sneakers are made there, I'm out.
I mean, it's not like they don't have power, Peter. I mean, they shut down a sport for a few days over something that they believed in and was very, very important. So you can't say, well, I don't really have the power to speak my mind. This is the one league that allows you to speak your mind.
Well, and LeBron has power.
To what the players have to say.
LeBron has more power than silver.
Right.
They would probably leave China if LeBron demanded it and said he wouldn't play another game.
And but don't make it seem like LeBron doesn't have the power to do that. He does have the power to do that. Now, maybe it's something that he doesn't know enough about right now to do, but you know, you can only plead ignorance for so long. I mean, educate yourself, and if at this point you study it, you see it, and you have no problem with it, then that's your stance. But if you have a problem with it, the last thing LeBron James or Kevin Durant or any of these players can say is, well, I really don't have the platform, or I really don't have the power to do something about that. Bull, you do.
Now, in terms of having a problem, we should illuminate our audience, because our audience changes from 3 to 7. People go in and out, although you should listen to all 4 hours. It's so important, especially to us.
People have lives. Not everyone, but some do.
Well, you know what? Even if you go somewhere, just keep the radio on and listen to us. Let the dog hear it, the cat.
Right.
There was a dust up at the end of the show.
Yeah.
Nick from New Jersey, who is a somewhat acerbic caller.
Use a word we know.
Acerbic, prickly. He's a little prickly.
There's one part of that word.
He's a condescending jerk. Let's be honest. That's what he is.
Not to me.
He's that guy. No. In general, he is the one. He's that guy. He's always have to have the other opinion. He's got like a snarky attitude. I enjoy it because it makes for good radio, and most of the time we humble him. So I'm good with that. But call it what it is. He's a self-important, pompous, arrogant
maybe
jerk.
Maybe smug might be good.
I liked everything that I said.
Okay, so he called up and didn't like the fact that I took a caller. Peter didn't hear that I took a caller and had another point to make. Nick called in at about 6:45, 6:50 and said, I thought that was terrible. I mean, just tore into him. He was wrong. Peter didn't hear that I took the call. He wasn't being rude to the caller. Then Peter lost his mind.
I don't
banned
that I
Nick
disagree
from
with.
The show.
I don't think he lost. I think he was in complete control.
Do we have any of that cut there, RJ? Okay, here we go. Here's Peter.
The caller just before Steve Sachs. And you were waiting for some time to pass before Steve Sachs could get contacted. And Michael called on a caller. Sometimes, you know, I think the callers are the most, are the best fans of the show. Mm-hmm. And Michael says, let's talk to John. And just before that, you say, oh, can I just add one more thought about Le'Veon Bell, as if you haven't been talking about it all day. And then you decide to talk about Le'Veon Bell, and the poor guy who may have been waiting for a half an hour, 45 minutes, an hour, who knows, gets cut off.
Never got on.
Do you have a modicum of professionalism or consideration or even intelligence to understand that these people really want to talk?
Oh,
they don't
want
to hear about you talking about Le'Veon Bell, who's been talked about all day.
No. The audience doesn't want to hear the host talk about the issue of the day. They want to hear from someone who they don't even know what the subject was.
Wow.
How will the listeners possibly move on, Nick?
Probably better than what you were going to say.
Wow.
But, Nick, how about this? First of all, Nick, how about this? You're banned. How about that?
Whoa.
Oh,
you're a hack. No one
Does
on this show likes you or respects you.
No.
And you're finished. Goodbye. How about that?
No.
I don't know.
I don't think I'm down.
Well, I'm on board. Guess what? I'll walk. It's me or Nick.
So
stay with Nick.
Calls tomorrow. You're going to walk?
If Nick's on the show tomorrow, I'm just turning off my comrades.
You don't think he lost his mind, Don?
No.
That wasn't losing his mind.
Then what do I do?
Well,
I think you have
issues that we have been addressed.
RJ, I'm grateful you cut it off before the part where I think there was an I think if we see each other, there'll be a fist fight comment.
Right.
So I'm glad you cut that part.
Yeah, I don't need that to anyone's knowledge. That never happened.
That's a good point. It didn't happen. But I will say his lack of understanding that the moment he was referring to was as simple as Michael and I, who are not in the same room, talking over each other, and I just didn't realize that we were already going to the caller, and making it sound like I was legitimately a bad person, followed up by no one wants to hear what I have to say. They would rather hear the caller. They don't care about my point. Followed by a modicum of professionalism or intelligence.
Modicum.
That was rough.
He said modicum. I didn't know that's how you say it. I say
no,
modicum.
No, it's modicum.
I believe the proper word is modicum. He looked it up in the dictionary, mispronounced it. I understand. I do it all the time with athletes. But, Don, to me, those things all added up with such a high level of disrespect that I'm not saying I'm not willing to change my mind, but as a member of this show now for, I believe, on the verge of 5 years.
Right.
Way too many.
I believe my take in being personally offended should be respected by my teammates. And they should say, hey, Nick's problem was with Peter, but if Peter feels that emotional about it, we line up as a team. We don't divide. We line up as a team. And
you know, that kind of blind loyalty is what causes problems in this country, too.
And I know Michael. No. Well, some would argue it's the reason why some people are better at doing their job than other, because they know when push comes to shove, they may have differences within their group, but they come together. And Don, I know we can't count on Michael. He sides with callers over us. He sides with members of other shows over us. But you, a friend, a man of respect, a man who demands respect for me, I assumed you would follow my lead and say, if I was deeply offended by this, that you would be with me. You wouldn't simply stick with Nick out of wanting to hate listen.
I'm not. But so you're making it seem like I'm sticking with Nick because I'm taking Nick's side. I'm not taking Nick's side. I just think it's an overreaction to ban him, because I think the way he comes across on the air and the way we treat him makes for entertaining radio.
You're banned. How about that?
Whoa. CBS. CBS is the one network that doesn't have a town hall tonight. Would you like to have a town hall, Peter, to give your side?
Again, total respect. I love the fact CBS yet again taking a knee. It is really just unbelievable. No network is better at it, right? Whether
they take
it's
a
New
knee
Year's,
for New Year's Eve, yep.
Right, New Year's Eve, they take a knee. What else did they
do? The Sunday recent, night movies now that Sunday night, Clueless yeah. this last Sunday.
Right, they aired Clueless. They just take a knee on Sunday nights. You go against football, what do you care? We're going to just take the knee. You think I'm making fun of him? I'm saying I'm showing respect.
I think
after
maybe,
Guy Lombardo died, they decided to take a knee.
Yeah, it's I really do respect it.
All right, so you've got it laid out for you now. The big problem will be somewhere down the line on this show. Nick's going to call in. Will Nick be taken? Will Peter walk out?
Seriously, Peter, tell me the audience right now isn't dying to have Nick call in. That's why you don't ban him. Now, the guy I banned a few years ago, whoever it was, he was irritating. Nobody liked him. I did the show a favor.
You just described Nick in a nutshell.
No, but I think people would love
you. You should have seen my Twitter yesterday. Everyone tweeted me and said, thank you. We hate Nick. Thank you.
But I think people hate listening to Nick. I do.
Well, you have no choice. Other people have a choice. They may hear, thank you for taking the call. And they're, hey, hello, Michael, Don, Peter, thank you for taking the call. And they're instantly gone.
See, it's a very good imitation.
This is radio gold, Michael. It goes away if you ban Nick.
I agree. That's why I'm, Peter said, I don't have a voice. You do have a voice if you could win one of us over. And the guy you always win over is Don, and he's not on your side on this. You got an issue.
It's too bad that Andrew and RJ can't vote in this because I believe that if Andrew and RJ were able to vote,
Andrew would vote in your favor.
I'd get a 3-2 majority. I think with them both, I'd get a 3-2 majority. Can I expand to a wider vote?
We'll wait till after the election.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy. Hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Peter votes to ban Nick, but since RJ and Andrew are as much as part of the show as any of the three of us, they get a chance to vote. All right, RJ, you go first.
I had the whole break to think about it. Now I'm on Peter's side.
Wow, that's a huge swing.
That's a
Michigan
swing vote
right there.
That's Michigan or Ohio. That's big. Now let's bring in Andrew. I think I know where Andrew's going to go.
You never know with Andrew. You never know with Andrew.
Here comes with Florida. Because he benefits, remember, he benefits from the ban because he talks to him before we do.
Andrew.
I feel truly sick over this because I so desperately want to be on Peter's side, but I just don't think it rises to the level of bannable offense. I'm so sorry.
Oh,
Peter.
I
take a shower voting that way now, but I just don't think it's bannable. I'm sorry, Peter. Can you please forgive me?
It's 11:59,
and we just called Texas for us.
Florida just got called our way.
Actually, it's a perfect. I'm glad you brought up politics because it's moments like this. And I won't tip my hand, but it's the reason why the people that I often have rooted for are losers and lose everything because the other people would never do what Andrew just did. Spineless, gutless, pathetic, embarrassing. Oh, I'm going to go with what's right by the law. No, go with your own interests. You don't like him. He's a bad guy. You stick with your friends. What are you doing, RJ? Do you know this was going to happen?
I really thought it was going to be RJ siding with us and Andrew going with you.
So did I.
I knew once RJ went with me, I was going to lose the vote with Andrew, who's going to go with, this is just the right call.
Andrew is so pure as the driven snow. He's doing what he believes is right.
Andrew, you want to defend yourself here, Andrew, or what?
Go ahead.
Hey, hello.
Oh, right. No, you know what?
We
you
should ban Andrew.
He's hello? Banned. There, are you there? Hello? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here. I was saying it's a slippery slope if we just start banning the people we don't like. I feel like that's kind of just like suddenly we'll be left with a radio show of just like solely minded opinions. And,
unfair. That implies that the reason I said you're banned was because of an opinion on sports. It was because of a personal
attack. No, you banned him because you just don't like him.
No. By the way, if you actually were to go to the listen to me in the call, here's what I forgot about this. This is very interesting. Michael said, Peter, someone wants to attack you. You want to take it? And I said, sure. And he goes, Nick. And he picks up, and it's Nick. And I actually go, oh, hey, it's Nick. Because, and I said it in a friendly way, like, oh, it's someone I know who's going to attack me. It won't be that bad. And he had obviously been sitting around stewing whatever he'd been stewing in. And it turned out to be as vicious an attack as I've ever received on this show.
Oh, my God. A little dramatic, huh?
Yeah, that's a little dramatic.
I found it to be really, maybe it's the snarkiness of his voice, but I found it to be incredibly vicious. And, Andrew, I hope you understand what I'm saying here. I'm not saying that your logic is wrong. You're being fair. You're doing what you think is the honorable thing. Do you understand what I'm saying, though, when I say that I'm sort of the way you are, and that's why we're losers? You should just do, screw what's fair and honorable. You should deliver the message that needs to be delivered, which is a bad guy receiving his punishment.
Don, I believe he's tipping his hand, which we tell
him
he would never do.
McGovern, Democrat, for the people.
I didn't say a word.
You said a lot of words.
You said a lot of words.
All right, so Don, I'm going to look to you, my brother in arms for 19 years. Nick's sitting there. Like a fly on Mike Pence's head. What do I do?
No, we just talked about it. We got to.
But I don't want Peter to be upset. I don't want to lose Peter.
Well, I'm not going to walk off now. I lost. I took it to a vote.
Right.
If I had refused the vote, then you taking the call is something I have to walk away from.
I think you should take him. But please, if you don't mind, I'd like to speak to Nick first.
Wow. Okay. Well.
You know what we should do? We'll take Nick at the start of the 4 o'clock hour. Might as well make it a ratings grab. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Everyone's tuning into your Nick.
Well, but you've got to tell all the people that are listeners to the show that are saying on Twitter, if Nick's on the show, I'm out. Because you're in. You're not out. You listen to the democratic process.
I hope that everyone out there supporting me, my rosebuds as they're known, I hope that they will stick around and not leave the show simply because we're going to hear from Nick. Now, I hope that at least, if nothing else, this conversation would lead to, you know, maybe a certain level of...
A modicum, you mean?
A modicum of discipline out of Nick, and maybe his awareness that he caught a break this time. But because Don, I know Don LaGreca well enough to know that even though he surprised me here and he didn't ride with me, I know that now if Nick tried to blatantly cross the line again, I believe Don would go with the ban. I really do. Strongly believe
that. We'll find out coming up.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. It's the Michael K. Show.
Nick in New Jersey. Nick.
Hi, Peter. Do you have a modicum of professionalism or consideration or even intelligence to understand that these people really want to talk?
Oh,
they don't want to hear about you talking about Le'Veon Bell, who's been talked about.
How about this? First of all, Nick, you're banned. How about that? I believe the proper word is modicum. You looked it up in the dictionary, mispronounced it. I understand. I do it all the time with athletes.
CBS is the one network that doesn't have a town hall tonight. Would you like to have a town hall, Peter, to give you some?
Again, I love the fact CBS, yet again, taking it. It is really just unbelievable.
This is the Michael K. Show.
Spineless, gutless, pathetic, embarrassing. Oh, I'm going to go with what's right by the law. No, go with your own interests. You don't like him. He's a bad guy. You stick with your friends.
On 98.7 ESPN.
I'll tell you what. There's been so much brilliance going on. But Don's love for taking a knee will stay with me forever. He just loves CBS because CBS doesn't try. Imagine that. Imagine Marco's on a football team, they're losing, he just takes a knee. You'd be okay with it.
Live to fight another day. I think there's a respect in realizing we're going to lose. So let's lose with dignity.
No, that's not dignity. You're giving up.
No, hear me out. Because you could throw a ton of money at the problem and do the same number. You could say they threw Clueless on there. They could have did like an Everybody Loves Raymond reunion.
Right.
They could have done something like a MASH retrospective, get destroyed in the ratings still, and threw a ton of money at the problem. You know what? You throw Clueless up there. You get your number. It didn't cost you anything. That's smart business.
If you put Alan Alda right? And Gary Burrows together and Jamie Farr, you'd get a bigger number than football.
They you want to be like Alan Alda?
Yeah.
No. Maybe in 1986. Not now. That's just knowing. Now, eventually you got to build it up so you're not taking a knee. But you know what? I respect it. You know, live to fight another day. I don't need anybody getting hurt down 30.
The fact that they take a knee on New Year's Eve is unconscionable. It's unconscionable.
I love it.
It's shrewd. it's smart.
It's quitting. You're okay with quitting.
I think it's quitting, and you save yourself a ton of money. You're all in the business to make money, right? So what? You're supposed to have a lottery spell. Like, all right, we're going to throw millions of dollars at this, get the exact same number.
All right, so let me ask you a question.
I'm taking the knee, and you know what? I make more money. Let them spend all that money.
You got Trump on NBC at 9, right? You got Biden on ABC at 9. You tell me that if CBS got together Bush and Obama, that wouldn't, and Clinton, the three of them sitting there talking about the race, that wouldn't just get great numbers. Instead, they're taking a knee.
Very expensive.
They wouldn't have been able to pull that off.
How do we know that? But they don't even try.
Maybe they tried. Maybe they tried.
They don't try on New Year's Eve.
And I think that's smart.
Oh, this is what you've all been waiting for. This is going to be what they call in the business uncomfortable radio.
Is that? I've never heard that in the business before.
Oh, yeah. It's a thing. Uncomfortable radio. Where you're just cringing. It's like slowing down on the side of the road to see the accident. You don't want to look, but you're going to look. Right. It could be just grotesque, or it could be great. Oh, everybody's okay. Or, but I don't think that at the end of this call, everybody's going to be okay. I think there's going to be a white sheet involved.
Wow.
Yeah. So here we go.
There we go.
Nick in New Jersey. Nick.
Good afternoon, Don. I think you asked to speak to me first.
Yes, so, I wanted to speak to you first, if it's okay with everybody.
Now,
I supported you. I don't want you banned because you're snarky, and I think you make good radio, even though you drive us up a wall. But I will say this. Moving forward, don't get personal. You want to disagree with his sports takes. You want to do whatever you want to do, but don't get personal. That's not right. You wouldn't do it to his face.
Well,
don't do it over the phone. Don't be gutless.
I'm sorry. You are completely right. And I did overreact. In fact, that is what I told, I think, Andrew. I'm not sure exactly who screamed. I did say I overreacted, okay? And I was more on the side of the caller than I was anti-Peter. Now, I did criticize Peter, okay? I did not threaten violence to Peter, okay?
It's true.
I did not mock Peter, as Peter mocked me a few moments ago.
I would never do
that. Okay? I criticize people, and I have criticized people that I love and people who I have respect for, but it is not personal. I did not want Peter to be off the show. I forgot to say that to Andrew or RJ. I did not want Peter to walk off the show. I think he's an important part of the show. But
I disagree.
Okay, now I've been thinking about this since yesterday also, and I don't think anybody could have verbalized it better than Andrew, is it all you want is sheep on the show? Okay, I mean, is that all you want?
Now, I love confrontation.
Okay, so I really don't dislike Peter. As a matter of fact, politically, we're on the same page, but I know you don't want to go there. But politically,
I don't have any idea where Peter lays.
Yeah, I don't ever give any hint to my political leanings.
Yes, you do, and I think I know what it is, and I think we're on the same page. Okay. But that has nothing to do with the show.
Yep.
What I had to do, I was hot, okay? I wasn't on hold for a long time, okay? And when I'm on hold for a long time, I have a tendency to really try to, you know, like, to think about what I am going to say. But yesterday I was very hot, okay? Whoever screened me was trying to explain to me that Peter didn't hear that he didn't know that Michael cut off the caller. Okay, this whoever it was, and I honestly don't remember because I can't differentiate.
It was Andrew, but please, let's get to the point, Nick. Now it's starting to bore me. Right. Talk to Peter.
Okay, Peter, I think that you have to give more respect to the callers. Okay, I think they're your most ardent fans. all of them, of all three of you, okay, they stay on hold, as I said yesterday, sometimes for hours, okay? And I think they are an integral part of the show. So that if you cut them off, or for any reason, now I hear, of course, you didn't know that, but the callers are your most important fans, and they are the ones I want to hear. I'm locked into Michael. I'm locked into the callers. And, Peter, no, I'm not exactly locked into you. I'm sorry. And I'm locked into Don.
All right, but I've got an announcement to make. Do you have a breaking news sounder, RJ? Yeah, after this phone call, Nick is banned. I'm on Peter's side.
Yes!
I got to be honest.
I fell asleep, and I loved
that. That was rough.
What do they call that? Bloviating? Out.
Yeah.
I
enjoy him because he's a pain in you know what, and sometimes it makes for good radio. God awful. And who are you to just talk to us about the callers and when we should do whatever?
Hold on. And also,
God. I apologize to you,
thank you.
Your family, and your fans.
Thank you.
This is what happens when you're a bad teammate.
I know the last thing that you guys care about is my feelings.
Dear God.
He went on, and in the end was more insulting to me than he even was yesterday. He just spent 10 minutes to get to, I listen to Michael, I listen to Don, I listen to the callers, I don't listen to you. Nick, go screw yourself. How about that?
I don't care who you vote for.
I vote for you to be off forever. I want to go beyond temporary ban. That was awful. It was boring, and then at the end he doubles down on the insult?
Well, you've got my vote, Peter.
Thank you. I appreciate having you guys on board now. It took some time. What a shocking turn of events. He actually did it to himself.
I actually think I'm also going to get Don to flip on taking a knee. So Sunday night on NBC, Rams 49ers.
Rams
Sunday night on CBS, 8 p.m. You have a drum roll, RJ? Anything like that? Okay, forget it. Ferris Bueller's Day Off. That's not even a knee.
It's still brilliant.
It's not
because
brilliant.
They're not even trying.
They're putting up 20-year-old movies.
There are so many people that are going to watch it. It costs them nothing. And Clueless is also a great film.
It is great.
But it's 25 years old.
Bueller.
Why did they put on The Wizard of Oz?
I'm telling you. Because you know what? Ferris Bueller's a better movie. Ferris Bueller's Day Off is one of the great movies of all time. It costs them nothing. They'll actually get a number. Good for them.
For the record, I will be adding a segment now to ENN whenever I'm talking about big events, a new segment called What's on CBS, where we just check in whenever there's a big sporting event with What's on CBS. I respect this, though, because the bottom line is, 49ers-Rams, even though that game's not as sexy as it would be with the 49ers at complete full strength, I mean, they lost to the Dolphins last week, it's still getting 15 million people, no matter what. So what are they going to do? Just go ahead and throw on a movie that if I stumble on it and I'm not in the mood for football, I'm down to stick around.
Next week I heard they're not even going with I Love Lucy reruns, Don. They're going with Here's Lucy. I mean, that's really taking a knee.
No, but it's still brilliant because you know what they do, Chris? Like, everybody wants these extravaganza Christmas specials. You know, they'll hire Garth Brooks to do a Garth Brooks Christmas and all that. They go nuts, right? Radio City Music Hall, the whole thing. You know what CBS does? They throw like a Dick Van Dyke or I Love Lucy Christmas special, colorize it. Cost them $5, throw it right on the screen.
Boom.
Monster number. I mean, it's brilliant, really. It's brilliant.
That's terrible. I don't believe in giving up.
Peter, come on. I really think it makes sense.
Let me ask you a question, Don.
It's the third and 30 draw. That's what it is.
It's an easy play that
gets back, you get you out of the shadow of your goal line, right?
Once in a while, somebody
will fall down. You'll get the first down. It's the third and 30 draw play, Peter.
Yep,
and
setting up the punt.
That's what you got to do.
We're just setting up to punt.
Okay.
Right.
Remember when we were pea shooters and we went up against a monolith? What happens if our station just took a knee and gave up?
I got to tell you, Michael, we didn't know it at the time. We took a lot of knees as well. And I think it got us to where we are. Because believe me, the bad radio we produced cost nothing.
It did cost stuff.
Not really. I think if I look back, I mean, I don't want to disparage anybody, but I think we took tons of knees.
Wow. Sad.
Well, I've never been vindicated more. This is weird for me.
We're still on this?
I'm not used to being right. Well, I'm just getting through Twitter. The level of hatred and vitriol that people have for Nick now. They already had it yesterday, but his call alienated so many more people. He may have improved my overall popularity in the market.
Vindication! Vindication!
It's sad. I mean, he lost me. It's like losing Cronkite.
You gave him a warning, too.
Oh, I said, this is boring, and it was still bad.
Yeah. No, that's it.
Ryan Evans goes, Nick in New Jersey should be rebanned. The build-up for the 4 p.m. hour is phenomenal. Nick laid an egg.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he dropped the ball.
The Michael K. Show parody Twitter feed, which is great. Nick from New Jersey, worthy of his ban. He's having a poll. Ban him or free Nick?
You should retweet that. It's important. Butch tweeted, Nick is a gutless puke.
Wow. Well, let's take some phone calls.
We should. You, Peter.
Spike in New Jersey. He'll never get banned. Hello, Spike.
Let me tell you guys something. That Nick's performance was like a bad hostage tape. Oh, that was terrible. That was terrible.
As opposed to those really good hostage tapes.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, they're entertaining.
Well, I just mean the ones that are fabricated for effect. You know, I was willing to form a human chain with you, Peter, on this prior to Nick's putrid appearance or pukey appearance. That was terrible. Who wants to hear that crap?
Thanks.
I mean, that was prior to the pea shooter. That was garbage.
Wow.
That was terrible.
I like Spike starting his own beef with Nick.
Yeah.
Well, that goes down the dial, man. I mean, you guys passed them and blew right by everybody. So let's get up to the challenge, Nick, and get your act together if you want to appear on this station.
That's right.
Beautiful.
Come on, Nick. One-on-one with an old man.
Yeah.
Now bring the dogs. All right, what else you have, Spike?
Well, what I do have, Michael, I'm quoting you, and I don't like to use the word, but I will because you said it on the air. It was a spit, snot, and sweat. Remember when you used those words?
Yep.
Okay. Now, look, I like football. I like watching football. Don said it before. One of you fellas said it before about the ratings, or they'll get whatever they throw on there. All jokes aside, this is serious stuff now. I'm making a form reversal here. But I asked Andrew that, and then he came. I gave him a number. Maybe you guys could corroborate that number. A football team, all employees included, are probably about, 300 in each organization, counting everybody, you know, all the personnel, massage staff. Yeah. Okay. So that's in the ballpark. That's 10,000 people, 32 teams, 9,600 people. You said it, Michael, with everything and the traveling coming into play, what are they going to do? They're going to wind up with one team being 10-4 and another team being, 9-5 and going to percentage. You know, I feel bad about it. I don't like anybody getting sick at all. I know all about that. I don't like that. And I don't know what they're going to do. But you said something that really hit me close to home. You said they're going to blow right through this because of the money. And it's an accurate statement. And it bothers me. I don't know if I should be bothered, but it bothers me. You understand?
Sometimes we put unicorns and rainbows on everything. Why do you think the NBA went into a bubble? Why do you think the NHL went into a bubble? Why do you think baseball plowed through? I mean, the prudent thing would not be to play, but they're playing because of money. So this, don't just pin it on the NFL.
Right.
The NFL is not the only sport that's playing, because every single sport that's playing now is not playing so there's a distraction for Americans or people around the globe. They're paying for the money.
And also, Michael, in the defense of football, you know, when Spike was talking about the snot and the sweat, so far we have not seen any evidence that it is transferred from team to team on the field, right? And remember, Mahomes is in trouble. He better get tested because he hugged Gilmore after the game. Well, Mahomes, to our knowledge, hasn't gotten it. I think we would have found out by now. So I think that's their defense, is that, listen, they're getting it away from home. It's not transferring from team to team. It's transferring within our own thing. We shut it down when it happens. We pull those players, and they will reschedule the games. And if they got to tack on extra weeks, they will do that. It is not in their vocabulary to quit. Not because they want to help us out to give us something to watch. It's because there's money to be made. And in their defense, Michael, they haven't had it to the point where anybody has gotten sick or it's transferable on the field. So the fact that it's a contact sport hasn't mattered, right? Now, doesn't mean that'll continue that way, but so far it's been okay.
Let's go to Dennis in Leonia. Dennis.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. I have two points about the Yankees, if I may. I know it's football season now.
No, please. Go.
But one about the Chapman Brousseau. And you mentioned it, and Ron Darling during the at-bat mentioned it. Don, yesterday or the day before, said there was no margin for error. And I kind of disagree because Brousseau kept honing in more and more on the fastball. 3-2 count. There was no one on base. He could have walked him and faced the next batter and moved on and tried to overpower him.
And well, remember one thing, though. I'll let you finish, Dennis. I'll let you finish. 1 second. If you walk him, you're putting the go-ahead run on base.
I understand that, but he was coming closer. He was fouling him off. He was almost dead red.
You're asking something to happen. It never happens. Why would you walk the go-ahead run and put him on base? You never do. You say, well, base is open. Well, that doesn't happen. It's not Barry Bonds you're facing. I understand you're complaining, but that's completely outside the box thinking. You know how much we would kill them if they walked Brousseau and he ended up coming in for the go-ahead run? You can't do that. You can't give him a free pass.
And also, every single relief pitcher thinks he's God. He's not going to pitch around anybody.
But when is that, Michael, when does that ever happen?
Never.
You walk the in a situation? Now, if there's a runner at second base,
happen against the Astros, Altuve went on deck with Jake Marisnik. It wasn't going to happen to walk Brousseau so you could pitch the Yandy Diaz. What's your other point, Dennis?
Well, my other point was with Hal Stein, Brenner. I was hoping you'd ask him about the farm team. Is there anybody down there? Shortstop, outfield. He wants to keep the budget the way it is. He doesn't want to expand it. You're getting a couple of players.
He did not say that.
It was implied that you're the number one budget as it is, and I don't think he wants to invest a lot of money for other stars from other teams and inflate
there
it even
no
more.
There's no shortstop on the 40-man roster.
Okay.
And they didn't have a minor league season this year.
I understand that, but they have scouts. They had the substitute 30 players in reserve. Is there anybody
prospects? If they want a new shortstop, they got to go get one. There's nobody in their system.
See, the problem is a lot of the prospects we've seen over the last couple of years because of all the injuries. Right, Michael?
Right. Most of the 40-man roster, I think the only position player on the 40-man roster that's not on the big league roster is Floreal. The rest are pitchers. So, there might be somebody in the lower level that's not even close to being big league ready. So, no, your defensive answer at shortstop is not there unless you want to go with Tyler Wade, who's a really good shortstop. I mean, you want to walk Brousseau because he's coming close.
That's just talk about a classic second guess. Yeah, knowing that he was going to hit the home run, yeah, I guess you would walk him. But when would that ever enter? You called how many games, Michael? Oh, he really seems to be on him. Let's walk him.
No, it doesn't happen.
Maybe, like I said, the only time I could ever think that anybody would ever do that would be Barry Bonds.
Right. When Buck walked him with the bases loaded.
Right.
Let's go to Ryan in Deer Park. Ryan.
How you doing, guys? I just want to start by saying I'm a huge fan. Thanks for letting me on. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks, man.
I just want to say I've been reading and listening around a lot on a couple shows, and I just so happen to agree that the Yankees should get another good contact hitter like DJ LeMahieu. Michael Brantley is going to be a free agent this season. I know Brett Gardner is hanging for free agency, but what do you think Michael Brantley would be?
He'd be great, Ryan, but he's going to cost $25 million a year. You're not going to get Michael Brantley for nothing. Michael Brantley is a top-flight player. The Astros are going to try to keep him. Well, start at 20, get to 25. That's what it's going to cost to get Michael Brantley. The only question with Michael Brantley when he was with the Indians was he couldn't stay healthy. He stayed healthy with the Astros.
So every time the Yankees come up short, Michael, they just got to throw more money at the problem. Every time.
That's what it seems like.
That's the part that annoys me, too. Isn't there a certain... I mean, does every other team do this? I've been here too long. Does every other team in their post-mortem, it's just like, who can we throw money at to fix this? Or just like, with some teams, is it just as simple as what mistakes were made? You know, oh, it was a good year, but this didn't work out.
But in fairness to fans, though, the easiest way to fix something is to buy it rather than trade for it.
Well, I just wish they'd think about what they're saying every year, though.
Right, but I wish, if I'm a Yankee fan, I'm thinking to myself, how are we getting outsmarted by the Rays, who have a payroll that's $190 million less than us? So why do you have to outspend the problem? Why don't you figure out a way to be more like them and get more out of your players, right? It's not like you're getting beat by the Red Sox, where it seems like a race every year who's going to spend the most money. We've seen teams like Kansas City, Tampa Bay, you know, be able to win without having to spend, you know, $25, $30 million on players every single year to replace them. It gets a little ridiculous. Find another way.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody, it's me. I'm back. And guess what? It's another Don segment.
We're doing the list, Michael. I don't care if you don't like it.
The Daily Don.
I'll fight to the death for this list.
It's the Daily Don Show. He makes lists. Take it away, Donnie.
All right, this is definitely personal preference, but if you know me, I think you should be able to guess on the five, especially Peter. Top five old school sports video games. And when I say old school, I'm talking Nintendo and Sega.
All right, I'm ready to jump after this.
All right. Remember, this is me now. It's my list.
Are you counting
ratings at me? And all, I'm telling you, Don LaGreca's top five.
Are you counting like different years of games or no?
I'm being specific with the year because there's a lot of them.
Can I please just have the first? Because I only have one guess, Peter. Then
go ahead.
Do the rest. Yeah. NHL 94.
There you go. See, I was going to actually say that Peter should get the first guess because this was such a layup, right?
But I don't have any other ones.
Everybody knows how much I love this game. Now, this was the first year in which they didn't have the fighting, but I don't care. It opened it up. It was fun. Had all the names of the players, all the teams represented. Just a tremendous, competitive, fun game.
And, Don, did you see that for NHL this year?
I did.
They're including in the new NHL the old NHL 94-style game as well with all the updated players.
And what I found out, which I thought was fascinating, Peter, is that, you know, here I am growing up in Hawthorne, New Jersey, hanging out with all my friends, getting together, playing this game. Because when it first came out, it was just amazing. And we talked about the move. Go to the corner, cut in front of the goal.
Oh, yeah.
Score. So then I started playing with you guys and getting into tournaments and everything. And they referred to it as the move. And then there was one time, I think it was, I forget who it was in the Washington Capitals. It wasn't Ovechkin. Who scored in a similar fashion, and it was like all over the internet. The move. It was just universal.
It's that big.
It is so big, and it's my number one. Great job, Michael. Thank you for paying attention.
Thank you.
Let's keep it, I'm just going to throw it out there. I've never really heard you talk about it that much, but I mean, it's so important. Let's go Tecmo Bowl.
Well, I will give you Tecmo Bowl. But to be specific, Super Bowl 1991 is number three because that's when it opened it up. Super Bowl had all the teams. So everybody was
represented. Oh, that's why because I like the play better in the original Tecmo Bowl.
I don't know. I think the play is very similar, and it had a lot of like great things. Like if you put Lawrence Taylor in, you couldn't kick a field goal because you just put it on 56 and you block every field goal. It had a lot of Jimmy switches to it. You could take your quarterback, go all the way in the end zone, throw a 100-yard touchdown pass. But it was fun, and just the fact that it included all of the teams. Tecmo Super Bowl number 3.
Mike Tyson punch out.
Yeah, thought about it.
I did. No, because it was a good game. I enjoyed that. I'll see if you follow me, Peter.
Hey, listen to my Mike Tyson podcast.
I found it to be a better video game in the arcade than at home. So I left it off the top 5. But a great guess, Michael. Good thinking. Good pull. Good pull.
Thanks.
Stop humoring him. Let's go NHL hockey for Nintendo.
No.
Blades of Steel. Pong. Okay, come on. Don't embarrass yourself.
Pong.
Blades of Steel, Nintendo 1988, is number 4 on the list.
Blades.
Because it incorporated fighting.
Steel.
Obviously it looks ridiculous now, but at the time it actually felt like close to actual gameplay because all you had to go by was hockey for Atari, which was completely ridiculous. And it actually tried to have teams. Like it had Chicago and New York and Toronto. So that made it kind of fun. Blades of Steel. And that also, with the great moment in LaGreca history, and this is why our project together is going to be tremendous when we finally launch it in the fall, is my brother figured this out. He's up 1-0, right? Wins the faceoff and then just spins in a circle I can't get the puck from.
Oh, yeah.
Then we go to the third period, 1-0, Dave. He wins the faceoff and just goes into a circle. And I'm freaking out because I can't catch him. And then what does he do? Breaks from the circle, scores, makes it 2-0. I actually picked up the Nintendo and threw it against the wall. And that was Blades of Steel, and that is number 4. So Blades of Steel, 4. Tecmo Super Bowl, 3. NHL 94 is 1. So I need 5 and I need 2.
No, I got nothing.
Now, one of them I have said many times, Michael should be able to get it, but definitely Peter. It's such a juxtaposition for how I feel about this sport.
Yeah, I believe it's college football. I think you like a college football game.
No,
it's not NCAA for EA?
No.
Again, Oh, you love golf. You love PGA. I don't know the year.
Well, I will tell you because it's a great job by you. Number 5, PGA Golf 2 for Sega, 1992. So you got to play, you know, in Sawgrass, all the great legitimate courses. I thought the gameplay was really good, and it was very competitive and a lot of fun. And you, Pete, Michael, you went up against the Fred Couples of the world, the Sattlers of the world. It was actually, for that time, a lot of fun. PGA Golf 2, number 5.
We down to 1?
We're down to number 2.
We're down to 1, which is 2.
Please get it in a hurry, please.
See, this is why you don't want to do the list, because this is what Michael
does.
Well,
this is why I was. That's why I was trying to engage him, because we're 2 seconds away from not having top fives anymore.
Right, exactly. All right, so we have a golf. We have we don't have a football.
Rick DiPietro just texted me. I'd rather have Nick do a list than this one.
Oh, you know what? See, and Don, this is why you can't trust Rick.
You know what? I'm not going to continue. Let's move on and take the calls, because now we've completely lost Michael. I'm never going to be able to do this again. Rick is a piece of trash. Because you would think that he'd actually have fun in this, but he continues to suck up. God, you are a professional hockey player. You're on a tremendous show with chemistry. It's inhumane, Peter. It's inhumane. I don't know the angle. There must be an angle we don't know. There must be. It can't be to suck up for gigs because the guy's got money. It can't be to suck up to try to keep his job. He's not getting close to getting fired. What's the angle? What is the angle? Does
Peter.
He pay you to be nice to him? I don't get it.
Peter.
It's sickening. I'm tired of it. I'm really tired of it.
Rick just texted to tell Rob Ryan to settle down.
Oh, see.
No, I'm not even going to give you. You're never going to know number 2 now.
I want to know if it was NBA Jam.
No.
NBA Jam.
No. I'm not. That's it. Don't even guess anymore.
Madden 92. But, Don, the worst part about this moment
for
Rick.
Meanwhile, if Michael did his toenails on the air, you know, Rick would want a 30 for 30 of it.
Toenails need to be cut.
God, I'm embarrassed for him. You don't hear Canty doing that.
And you would think, Don, this subject in particular, because Rick's younger, you know, and athletes love video games.
He did guess along. He guessed at the beginning. He's the one who gave me the Mike Tyson one. But it was dragging on a bit. I got to be honest with this, because when the list is just totally about what Don likes, then everybody else is kind of left out.
What is it called, Peter? Remind me.
The Daily Don. It's called the Daily Don.
God, when you're not interested, you can't even play along.
But you know what? You know how many times I feign
interest on this show? Do you know how many times? Like 80% of the time.
You're not interested in stuff I talk about?
We're talking about. You'd never know.
You'd never know. Because you're a professional.
That's what I'm trying to do.
I'm trying to channel what our listeners are thinking. They don't care about this.
Who's they?
The listeners.
Which listeners?
Oh, you need names?
Yeah, well, I'm just saying.
Listing video games from 30 years ago to me is not compelling.
But I'm saying right now, if you were to take a poll and say,
take a poll.
Excuse me? I'm just saying, if you did, that's unfair. Because every time we go into deep, hardcore numbers on baseball, I don't jump out and go, I bet there's 25% of people who do not care. Now, your number may be higher when it comes to video games, but my point is not everybody loves everything. How dare you tell us what our audience likes? You don't think our audience likes sports video games?
Not that many of them.
Come on. That's just...
Hey, rightly or wrongly, when you take a poll, people seem to generally like me.
Love you.
Right. Well, and one of the reasons for it, because I think they have like the same sensibility as me.
That's right. Don's the everyman.
They kind of think like I do. They feel like that these are the things that they enjoy.
Really hurt Rick's feelings for no reason.
For every reason. For every reason.
Should we ban Rick?
Never. But I really don't. I need him to sit me down and explain it to me, honestly.
How about he just likes me and I like him? There's nothing in it for either of us.
It's unhealthy. I mean, you can like each other. I love you. I love Peter.
Thank you.
You think I'd be sitting home and like sucking up to you?
First of all, people don't go out anymore. He's got three little kids. What do you think he's doing?
This is pandemic only. He was doing this way before the pandemic.
You know what? It's a great point by Don. The pandemic has nothing to do with this. There are some people who say he cut his hockey career short.
You know what? Rich just makes a very salient point.
Of course he did.
He said they made a movie about this list. It's called The 40-Year-Old Virgin. That's what it sounded like.
Oh, you know, he's doubling down. I can't believe this. I really can't. Oh, this is sad. This is a sad day. I don't know if Don and Rick recover from this.
I really don't care anymore. I got enough people. I should be trying to eliminate people, to be honest with you.
I've been telling you that.
Maybe Rick's the person,
ironically. Rick's going way before the Stark brothers.
I've never said anything about the Stark brothers. What are you bringing names into it for?
You've criticized them before. You've implied that they're ne'er-do-wells.
I have not implied that.
I'm too busy reading all the tweets of people loving the list.
People that love the list are going to tell you they loved it.
Twitter, they never tell you they don't like something, right, Peter?
This is a good opportunity for a poll.
My friend Matt, who I went to college with, a lawyer, he said, this is a good point. Could this list be considered taking a knee? Don does approve of taking a knee.
No, it was sports related and culture related. It was a lot of people love it. RJ, run up a poll, please. Did you enjoy Don's sports video game list or think it was a snooze? I want to know.
But people are saying that the Daily Don is great. Yes, the Daily Don is great, but there's occasionally a clinker in there. This was
clinker because it's something you're not interested in. You only care about things you're interested in.
You absolutely ripped my wrestling one.
Was the wrestling one, which got so much reaction, and I had so much fun doing. I don't like wrestling, but I enjoyed how into it Peter was, and I was able to get some guesses because a lot of them are culturally relevant.
And Michael,
if you're not interested, you're out. That's the way you are on stuff.
Rick now has a new nickname for Don. He calls him CBS Don.
No, see, this is just, and now it's getting worse and worse.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Let's go back to the phone calls. Let's go to Joe in Massapequa. Joe.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you, Joe?
Great. Love the show. Man, tough to follow Mark Teixeira, but I'll try anyway. Just want to let you guys know I had to call in today because I think this is one of the best episodes in history.
He's right.
Between Don's list, DiPietro, Nick Gate. It's been incredible.
Yes.
I think this episode's going right to the Radio Hall of Fame.
Wow.
Just throw in a passing spot after ENN to make sure it's first ballot. But, you know. Anyway, I just wanted to go over analytics in baseball real quick compared to the other sports. I think we would all agree, and most of the callers seem to agree, that analytics in baseball are taking away from the on-field product.
Yep.
But it seems like in football, analytics say to go for it on fourth down, go for two, throw deep, pass more, all things which I say add to the product. And
that's not a bad point.
And in basketball as well, even though purists may not like all the threes, the Steph Curry era has corresponded to huge success in the NBA. So I just wanted to know what you guys think of that.
I think it's a good point. I don't love the way basketball's played now. I think it's not as fun to watch, people hoisting up 53s. I just don't. I think the passing and the cutting of the 69 and the 73 Knicks, that was beautiful basketball. What Parrish and McHale and Bird did with the Celtics, beautiful basketball. Now it's not beautiful, but it is efficient. So I think that's hurt basketball. I don't think it hurts football to give them the numbers to say, well, this is the right time to try for two. But baseball, it has completely destroyed it aesthetically. I'm sorry, it has. And if you don't believe it, try and watch a game where they strike out 18 times. That's normal. There's no penalty for striking out anymore because the analytics tell you it's okay. It's not okay to watch, though. No.
But think about how bad it is. There are more home runs being hit, and they've made the home run bad. They've made the home run uninteresting. Right? Think about, if you believe in the conspiracy theory of them ignoring steroids, why did they ignore it? Because balls were flying out all over the place, and they thought that was going to help sell the sport. People wanted home runs. Now they've got so many that they've devalued it. They devalued one of the best parts of the game. Same thing with the strikeout. I used to love watching Doc Gooden go out there, strike out 14, 15 guys. But now everybody does that. They've taken the fun out of that, too. Home run by Brandon Lowe, by the way. We are tied at one.
Oh, no.
You know what? He has not had a great postseason. At some point, he's going to wake up because Lowe's an unbelievable player. And he has just had a terrible postseason. I don't know if he got a hit against the Yanks. So if he wakes up, they're going to win the World Series if he wakes up. And everybody else stays hot like a Rosarena. Let's go to Yvonne in Clifton Park. Yvonne.
How you doing? It's Ivan.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ivan. How are you?
Hi, how you doing? Listen, I agree with you totally on the manager thing. If he does exactly what the analytics people say, it should be like the Supreme Court. You have the job for life.
You're right.
Okay? Just think about it. But another thing, I called in the other day, and Don had mentioned the teams of the since 2010, mm-hmm. and he mentioned the three. San Francisco teams,
right?
The Royals, the Cubs, and Washington. So six, right? And correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't the 2011 team the Tony La Russa team?
No, he was gone in St.
No,
Louis.
No, I'm pretty sure he was the manager in St. Louis in 2011. That was his last year.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right.
Okay, so there's seven. Okay, now the two outliers are Boston and the Astros, and they were so in on analytics that they had to cheat. So
well, one thing, Ivan, I will tell you about the Red Sox. Cora was allowed to do whatever he wanted because Dombrowski is still an all-time baseball guy. He bought into the analytics because John Henry made his fortune in analytics. But, Don brings this up a lot. The analytics would tell you that they shouldn't have started the guy who won the MVP against a right-hander, and they did. So I think that he went with his gut a lot and was allowed to do it because of the organization in which he managed.
Well, just I what is that old line from Vin Scully?
The statistics are like a lamppost to a drunk.
Right.
They're meant to support rather than illuminate.
Right, and I think it's gone away from support. Now it's your driving factor. It's become a religion now. and the way you say how defensive they are about even criticizing the numbers. That's not what it's supposed to be. Numbers are supposed to help you decide, not be the end-all, be-all that it's become. You got to have some wiggle room, Michael. Human beings are playing the sport.
I know that all of these old-time managers like the Lelands and the Torres and the La Russas, and you even throw Showalter in there, they all talk. They said nobody would tell us what to do. Nobody would show us lineups and say that. They used to do it with Torrey. Brian started to get into the analytics early, and there would be a lineup that would be put on as a suggestion for Joe, and Joe would dramatically crumple it up and throw it out.
You're not
telling
an
old-time guy. Dusty Baker is in a very analytics organization. It's probably killing them. They hired Dusty Baker because Dusty Baker is so loved that he could clean up the toxic mess that is the Astros and make actually people not hate them as much. But he's not looking at spreadsheets and managing off that, because the spreadsheet would tell you, you can't keep Greinke in then. You just can't.
Well, they probably were crazy that he did it, but he did it and it worked. And you know what, Michael? If they come back and win this series, that's going to be a major turning point.
Yep.
So, but I think it's wrong that, like, Torrey would destroy the lineup. Like, I think there has to be a happy medium. I don't think you should be so old school that you don't want it at all. And I think having it be what you worship is bad. You got to find some happy medium.
No. But I think that Torrey didn't agree with the lineup. And Torrey actually was on this show and said, analytics will tell you one thing. He said, but analytics would tell me you've got to take David Cone out against Atlanta. Third time through the order, it doesn't work. You got to take him out, bring in a better arm. He said, but does analytics tell you that David Cone would kill somebody in order to get the out? No, analytics doesn't measure that. He said, I know that about David Cone, so I'm going to stay with him rather than bring a guy out of the bullpen that the numbers say is better suited to get a guy out, but I know that he wouldn't kill somebody to get that guy out. David Cone would kill somebody. That's where old-time guys believe in that, but I've looked at this a lot. Analytic-bent organizations, if you can't put a number on heart and grit and determination, then it doesn't matter. If it can't put a number on it, it's not applicable. So I always look like I'm in the crosshairs here. I believe in what analytics do. I believe that they work, especially over the long haul of a season. But I think that in fairness, it has to be sprinkled in with the gut. Because if you injected Aaron Boone with sodium pentothal and said, who do you want to bat in the eighth inning against Diego Castillo? Mike Ford or somebody else? Now, I know that Boone likes Ford a lot, so maybe it would be Ford. But even if his gut said, I think Frazier could get a hit here, he's not going off that list. And that's not saying that he's not managing the team. The list says the guy that you send up against Diego Castillo is Mike Ford. Ford. His swing path, what he does in the batter's box, fits what Castillo's trying to do. Frazier doesn't. I think that Joe Torre might say, I think Clint Frazier would kill a small woodland animal in order to get a hit here. I'm not sure Mike Ford would. And Torre might go with Frazier there, even though all the stats say opposite. I don't think that Boone would. That doesn't make Boone a puppet. That means that Boone believes in the numbers. And that's why, as long as he continues to operate within the margins of the numbers, I think he should never be fired, ever. Because if it doesn't work and they continue not to win championships, maybe you have to evaluate the numbers and not the person using them.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.